Great God and Holy Father, we bow before you this morning. Lord, you are so kind to let us even come to you, Father, but not only come to you, but you say to come boldly to this throne of mercy. And there's grace there, and there's always grace there, Father. We can go there today, we can go there tonight, we can go there tomorrow, we can go there the next week. And there's always grace there. It never runs out, Father, because you're the God of abundance. You're the God who has no limits, and you're the God who is above all, Father. And there is none that will ever take you down, God. And we are so grateful, Father, to be a part with you, to have fellowship with you, God, that you would condescend to men of lower estate, Father, that you would condescend to us, O God, and come down to us, Father, and share your life with us, Lord. And what a tremendous blessing it is, Father. I just think of the world in its tizzy, Lord, and in a flurry. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to buy, Father. And then they're just all worked up about this thing, God. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for us here, this group of people right here in this building, Father, would just rest at the feet of Christ, Father, would just rest at the foot of Jesus, Father, and to find His peace and His rest to be the ultimate, Lord, and that there is no other desire, God. There is nothing else to chase after, Father, because we have it. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Father. I am not going to lack anything. And I just bless you this morning, Father, for that powerful being that you are, this powerful life that you have, that you give to us, Father. And Lord, this morning, your spirit is not bound to this place. Yes, your spirit is here, and I bless you for it, but your spirit is with Doug. Your spirit is with Dilbert, Father. You're with them, Father, and the life is moving there as well. And I just pray, God, for each one of these situations, Lord, that you would be truly lifted up today. And that, Father, that there would be none that would stand in your way, God. That none would be so hard-hearted today, God, in those circles, Father, that would not allow the Spirit of God to move. As we've seen it here today, we've seen your Spirit move here today, and we bless you for it. We bless you, God. Only you can bring reconciliation that is true and love that is real, unfeigned love of the brethren, Lord. We just pray, O God, that this would continue here, Father. We just thank you so much for that peace and life that is in Christ. And we thank you also for Trump, Lord, that he has declared this day to be a day of prayer. Father, it is a need for this country to come back to you again, God, and to see, Father, that you truly are in control. And though the icebergs are melting, you're in control. Your word says there's going to be summer and winter and frost and heat as long as there's time. And we believe that because you have said it, God. We choose to believe it because you've said it and because you're the omnipotent one, the almighty God. And we are your children today, and we bless you, Father. So we just thank you for each one that is here. May you be honored and glorified as we continue, Lord. I pray, Father, as I share, God, that you would give me wisdom, Lord, that you would give me clarity of speech, Father. Help me to be slower to talk today, God, and help me to be careful to explain, and help me, oh God, to bring this forth, Father. The great shepherd of the sheep, Lord, is what we want to talk about today, and that is you, Holy Father. And Lord, may we see, God, our place as sheep. May we see the provision of this great shepherd, God, that we have, this one who feeds us, Lord. As we are here together today, we just bless you for your life that is with us. We bless you for your love that continues to flow in our hearts, Father, and continue to bring life to us as we go forth from here, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And I'd like for you to remain standing, and let's read together. I'd like to read together Psalm 23. Can we do that? And we'll just recite it together here this morning. And probably most of you know it by heart, but we will read it together here. Psalm 23. Okay, are we ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my cup and head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house. good here. So this psalm has been a psalm of comfort for many people. It has been a psalm of joy. And you'll often see it memorial cards for somebody who has died. You'll see this little psalm on the back of there. It's just six verses, but you know what? The world could get by with lots of bigger books before it could get by without this little psalm. This little psalm, and it's a personal psalm. It's in first tense, or it's in first. First person. There you go. It's in first person. Yep. And that's beautiful when you think of it. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. And just thinking of that thought all by itself is already a very comforting thought. And that's why I come back to what I've said before. I think it's very important that we know God. Do we know the shepherd this morning? And so this morning I'm just going to go through a number of shepherd verses here, and we'll discuss those a little bit as we go. I don't think we'll get much further than the first couple verses here, but we can't hardly talk about the first verses without talking about the last verses as well. I mean, it's all apart together here. And so I'll read these verses and we'll go on from here. And John 10 verse 11 says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, the hireling, he flees when something comes. He runs off and he's gone. But Christ gives his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. It's a voluntary death, a death on the cross that he gave for you and I. So as we think of the shepherd, and I just want to say another thing is with the shepherd, the word shepherd means one who feeds. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go through here. As we think of the great shepherd as one who feeds, we're going to look at about five or six different verses here in the thing of a shepherd. But you know, Christ not only came down to this earth, condescended to us, died on the cross, the humility of the death on the cross, he's back at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you and I. See, he didn't stop giving. He did not stop shepherding just because he's not here anymore. He's up there at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. Yet, think about this, that even though he's there, in all his holiness and his glory, he's there beside the Father, and he's interceding for TCA right now. The mercy of God is not heightened because of it. Because God is already infinite mercy. And you can't make infinite any greater than what it is. So just that's just something to think about as Christ is there at the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for us, but yet he's there. He's interceding. He didn't stop giving just because he left. Now I need to tell you that when you think of green pastures, what do you think of? You know, when I think of green pastures, I think of this green field, this lush alfalfa field that is just 1 foot tall and perfectly green and even across the top, and there you go. And you go out there and you just put the sheep in there, and that's what they have, and that's what they eat. But over in Israel, where this was written, or where this was about, the green pastures or the fields that we think of as the lush green field was used for other purposes because there were so many stones over there. So you cleaned out a field and then the sower goes forth to sow. And he sows in the field and some brings forth, you know, 30, 50, or 60, and 100. And so the fields that he's talking about here is this. And I want you to catch this here this morning. Is if you look at it from a distance, if you look at these fields from a distance, these mountainside fields, you won't see too much more than just stones. There's stones everywhere. But yet when you get closer, when you get closer to these fields, you'll see that around these stones, there's grass all around these stones. And at night, the dew comes in, and these stones collect dew or water, and then they release it in the ground around them, and there you get your grass. And so here's a clump of grass, and there's a clump of grass. And what the shepherd does is he takes his sheep out there, and he goes around these stones, and then he leads his sheep, and there's one clump of grass at a time. And so that's what that green pasture picture looks like here. And I want you to think about that in light of who God is. as I go through here today, and I have a hard time explaining myself sometimes, but we're not talking about sheep with wool on their backs today. Yes, we're going to reference to them some, and we're going to talk about sheep, but you know, we are the sheep. And so we're going to look at some characteristics of God as we go through here, the shepherd. We're going to look at some characteristics of Christ. And these are not just qualities of God. These are qualities that us as men must have. As shepherds, as people, we must have these same qualities. And I just want to look at a few of these because I probably won't come back to these and at least not directly reference to them. One is this, that I think it's inconsistent with Scripture to have a lush green alfalfa field smorgasbord picture of God feeding us. I don't think God feeds us that way. You see, I think God gives us here a little and there a little, and line upon line, and precept upon precept, and it's just, it's give us this day our daily bread. And God doesn't just plop us in the middle of a field and we're done. And so think of that. When you think of a lamb, think of that thing right there. When you see a lamb around you, and this lamb is struggling, it's not going to work to take him over here and put him right in the middle of a pile of whatever. And I use doctrine, and I don't mean that in any bad way, but you can't. It's not going to work to just fill him up with this stuff here and then let him go. You need to lead him along. That's the point that I'm bringing out here with the inconsistency of having a lush green pasture concept of God feeding us. Because as we look at others around us, that's my point today is as shepherds, each one of us, can we lead a lamb along? Can we lead a lamb along? Can we lead one of God's lambs to the next clump of grass? And I will use that phrase a number of times today. But that is my thought here today is, can we do that? Number two is restoreth. And when you think of restoring, that's in verse 3. Thank you. That's in verse 3. But when you think of restoring, think of this man who has a love for old cars, and he takes this 57 Chevy, this beat up, rusty, dirty piece of what we would call junk, and he takes this thing and puts it into his shop. And see the carefulness that he works with when he's working on this car. You see, he doesn't just take a sledgehammer and beat out the window. He doesn't just tear this thing apart. No, he gets the right tools to work on this car because he wants it to bring it back into the original state or better than what it was before. Restoreth my soul. See him look at this thing from this angle over here. Is there a scratch in the paint that I need to fix? Over here, he's looking at it again. Is there something here that needs to be pulled out? Is there something here that I can make better in this car? Because he's looking for a classic 1957 Chevy that he's proud to take to the car show. And that's what he wants to do. And so he restoreth my soul. Dear brothers, can we restore a brother to God here? When we restore someone, with what carefulness do we need to do this with? With what carefulness do we need to do this with? When we think of restoring somebody, restoring my soul back to God, this is what the shepherd does for me. The great shepherd does this for me. He does. And with all carefulness, he does this. Another one is leadeth. And I just won't say a whole lot about that one. You know, with people and with sheep, it's hard to drive sheep. You can drive sheep some with a sheepdog. You can do it, but you just can't drive people. You know, you just can't force people into something. You lead people to the next step. You lead people to the next step. So those three things, as we kind of keep in our mind as we go through here, because this is not today about the sheep that's out in the pasture, and this is really, yes, it is about God, the great shepherd, to us, but I want us to take away today is what can I do to take a lamb and lead him the next step, the next mile, the next clump of grass, the next bit of information. In their mess, can I do that for them? In their mess, can I do that for them? So we will continue here. And like I said earlier, these qualities are not just for God. You know, they're qualities from God to us. They're qualities of God. These are the very qualities God used on me. In carefulness and in tenderness, he comes, and he is the shepherd of my soul. Shepherd and bishop of my soul, as we'll read later. In John 10, verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And so he knows his sheep. Not only does he know his sheep, he allows his sheep to know him. And now if you are an actual shepherd and you're one of those shepherds that's out back in the early days, your sheep will actually have an emotional connection with you because you're with them just all the time. I mean, you're with them out in the snow and in the rain and whatever it is, you're with them. And so your sheep will recognize not only your face, but your voice. And so there's three different sheep herds here, and there's three different shepherds, and they can call their sheep and they come out. He knows us, and we know him. He is a knowable shepherd. We know him. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again the dead, from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And now, he is the great shepherd in this verse. And there are under-shepherds, if I may say that. I mean, the Bible uses the word pastor and the word shepherd are kind of interchangeable. And so I would like to look at each one of us here this morning as a shepherd. Can we look at ourselves as a shepherd? And now you're out there with the sheep. And what does that look like? What does it look like for you to be an under-shepherd, have a great shepherd above you? And each one of us answers to the great shepherd, and each one of us are fed by the great shepherd. And so it is his direction, and how he deals with us is how we deal with those around us, is how we lead these lambs along. That's my cry today, brothers. And I think of the tenderness of the shepherd, how he interacts with the sheep. Isaiah 40 tells us that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And that's exactly what the shepherds did back then. They carried the lambs. So the lambs were in their arms and they were carrying those along because they couldn't walk. They couldn't walk, and so, or whatever. Maybe maybe they could walk, but he carried them along anyhow. There was a tenderness in the shepherd that carried the sheep along, and Christ does that very same thing for us. 1 Peter, for ye were as sheep going astray, now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And see, this word bishop here is added, and the word bishop here means overseer. He is the overseer of your soul. He is here giving oversight to your life. And he is here giving oversight to your mind, will, and emotions. And that's what he is. That's what he does. And he wants his way to go forth in that. The things that I say and the things that I do, just like this morning. Just like this morning, we have a perfect example of that. And he is the shepherd and bishop of the soul, the overseer there. The director of the company. When you think of that, when you think of one who's in charge, one who's in charge. So what does that look like when at work, I guess I'm in charge, if you will. I mean, what I say goes, and I'm giving oversight to that, and what I say goes, and that's exactly what bishop here means. When he is the shepherd and bishop of your soul, he's giving oversight, and it's his direction that needs to go forth. It is his will that needs to be fulfilled. You see, sometimes I tell my workers, I'm pretty open for the most part. You know what? There's more than one way to do something, and I have two very experienced workers, and they weren't with me very long, so they have experience they're bringing. And so I tell them that, you know what, you go do this how you see fit for it to be done. And they say, no, I want you to tell me how to do it. And you know, I respect that very much. I really do. But you know what? That's what God's looking for us, from us. God is saying, this is how I want it done. This is how I want you to go forth and do this. In carefulness. And that's why it's so important to take note of verses like Philippians 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." See, how do we know what he wants done? This mind that was in Christ, this mind that humbled itself to the point of death on the cross. That's the mind that needs to be in us here. You know, sometimes when you're putting a message together, you write things down, and you don't know the tone of the Sunday morning service. And this morning has been a very special time here. But I will continue to share and try to share it in carefulness. But see, the phrase like, "the Lord is my shepherd," and the phrase like, "my Lord and my God," and I preached the message about a year ago on that. And those phrases there are conditional phrases. You see, he is Lord over all. Christ is Lord over all, and he reigns supremely. But yet Christ is not Lord to a lot of the people in the world. Christ is not their Lord. You see what I'm saying here? Is when Christ is Lord to you, that means that He rules and directs the things that we do and say. That He is the one who has the say in what goes in my life. When He is Lord over my life, when He is Lord of my finances, Lord of my work, Lord of my study time, Lord of my family. It is important that we get that concept of God as that He is Lord. He is truly the one who's in control of my life, has to be there. If He's not the one that's in control of my life, then I am, then I cannot say, my Lord and my God. I can't use that phrase because it's not befitting to me. It doesn't fit here because He's not my Lord. And He needs to be in control here of this ship because He truly has all power and authority. And then there's another verse in 1 Peter. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd. I just like that. You know what? There's none greater than that shepherd there. He is the chief shepherd. Now, I'm going to turn just a little bit here, and I want to look at I shall not want. And in the 1300s, there was a little lady that was born, and she lived in Norwich. And so in that time frame, there was a great separation between two groups of people. There was a very rich and a very poor, and she was of the very poor, and so she had to scratch and fight to make a living and to live her life. But she made a comment that has not left the internet, may I say, in all these years. Very simple comment or very simple statement, but yet a very profound one. And if we could get this comment, if we could get this thing in our hearts, we could truly go a long ways with it. She says here that anything less than God ever me wanteth. And I tell you, that is a very true statement. When you think of anything less than God ever me wanteth, and that word wanteth there means lacketh. If it's less than God, I'm lacking, dear brothers, this morning. I don't have the fullness and the wholeness of what God is desiring to give me. And I come back again and I say, do we know God? Do you know the shepherd? The provision that the shepherd wants to give to you, do we know that? Do I understand the greatness of this shepherd that I shall not want? You know what? If men take food away from us, I shall not want. If they take my clothing away, I shall not want. If they take my house away, I shall not want. If they take my money, I shall not want. You say, well, how's that possible? How can you do that? I mean, you need that stuff to go on. You need food to eat. You see, God didn't promise you that you're going to always have all the food you want. There's many Christians who die from lack of food, from starvation. There's many of them that do. But you shall not want ever in any righteousness, in any holiness, in any joy. You see, with all this taking away from other men, they cannot take your joy from you. They cannot take this life of Christ within you. They can't take that away from you. It's impossible for them to do that. I shall not want. And if I say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, then I must conclude over here that I shall not want. But yet there's a lot of wanting people out there. There really is. And it's not that they want Amazon to come out with a one-day delivery. They're lacking in the power and that thing which God has already said, I want to give to you. They're lacking in this. They don't receive it. They don't believe it. They don't walk in it. They're wanting, they're lacking people. Anything less than God ever me wanteth. And so we look to other relationships. And just like that guy in that car, he was feeding on something to fill his soul. And it was this crazy music that I don't understand how they can listen to. But he was listening to this stuff to fill his soul. And there was something there that he was lacking, something he was wanting to fill that up with. But it wasn't filling him up. It was not filling him up. See, there's no book that will do it. There's no relationship on earth that will do it. There is no seminar that's going to do it. Anything less than God, and we shoot less than God too many times. And I just want to say that I said there's no relationship that will do it here on earth. But I want to be very careful with that. So her and I have now been together for about 14 years almost. It doesn't seem like nearly that long, but it's been about 14 years. And here we are, and I just can't imagine the loss of her, right? I mean, you just couldn't imagine that. You just couldn't, you can't even wrap your mind around it, really. I mean, there it is. And we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've held each other together, we do everything together, we walk hand in hand all the time. When we're out on the street, I am not ashamed to hold her hand walking down the street. It's just a tremendous blessing. You know what? People look at you, they're kind of jealous. They wish they'd had the guts to do it. You know what? It doesn't bother me none. I'm going to do it. I'm going to love her in front of anybody, and it doesn't bother me. But you know what? We have a relationship. We have a fellowship. This morning we talked about fellowship, and we have it. Dear brothers, we have it. We have a deep relationship, my wife and I do. And I can't imagine the loss of that. I just can't. And now I'm going to go back to Virgil. Virgil shared a story. Virgil Hershberger, and he's with Jackie now, but he lost his wife, Liz. And so there he is. And he understands to a degree. He understands deeper than I do what it means to have the Lord as my shepherd. Because I have her. I can go to her. We can talk this thing through. We can talk this thing through. And we can go to prayer together. We can put our arms around each other and do that. But here's Virgil, and Liz is going. And there he is, his pillow's wet in the morning and from a restless night of crying because Liz is not there. You know what, brothers and sisters? We underestimate the value of a good marriage. We really do. And something that Virgil said was, and he went to his children, and he told them that I'm going to apologize to you right now before you got married. They were on their way to get married. He said, I'm going to apologize to you now because I'm going to use her better than I use your mom. And he said that you don't know what you have until you don't have it. And dear brothers, I'm telling you this relationship here is of the most important thing you can have, and just love your spouse. Can you do that for me today? Can you do it for God? Can you do it for each other? Can you bless each other in that way? Because he's on his way to work, Virgil is, and I'll continue the story. And he comes almost to work there at ENS, and he remembers he forgot to pack his lunch. And so he goes in there, and that morning he was crying out to God, God, I want to see you. And we were talking about this great shepherd today. He said, God, I just need to see you. I need you, God. And he was weeping and crying, and he goes, on the way to work, he stops at ENS, and he goes in. And he says that he wasn't hungry. He didn't know what to get, so finally he settled on a jug of milk. So he goes back, and he gets a jug of milk, and out he goes. And out to the register, and at the register there's only one open because it's still early. And so there's somebody there with a full cart and a lot of stuff. And so he stands there, and she looked back at him and said, you're just a little too late. As in, she got there before he did. But she said, here, let me pay for it. And so she paid for it, and he got it. And he said on the way out, he said it wasn't audible, but it might as well have been. God said, did you see me? Did you see me? You see, God comes in those little ways, and he comforts, and he fills, and he blesses, and he glorifies himself in it. But did you see me? And Virgil turned around and in tears blessed this lady for doing what she did, for allowing God to use her. And you know, I pray that I would never look at widows and widowers the same way again. These dear people have so much history behind them. So much history of being married. There's so much there. And all of a sudden, that thing is torn away is a phrase that they use. It's like it's ripped away and every fiber in you is torn. And I looked at them as needy people who should just get along with life because they have all this learning already. They can go on. That's not the way it is. Man is made for fellowship. We're made for fellowship. We need fellowship one with another. And Christ comes, and the great shepherd comes, and he gives us that fellowship, and he gives us that relationship, and he gives us the life that we need and when we need it. And you know, in our busyness, we miss it sometimes. We do. I know that I do. I don't do the things that I could do to bless other people in their struggle. See, that's something I put on my list of things to do, is when I know that somebody is a widow or a widower, I don't need to know them. I can call them up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I know this is tough. I know this is hard. I'm bringing you to the throne of God today. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. To the great shepherd. To this shepherd who alone heals, who alone gives life. That's why pure religion undefiled is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's pure religion. In their affliction. God knows this. God knows the affliction that these people are in. And you know, Scott, I couldn't help but think of you all when I was studying for this message. There was a son that's not here anymore. And that's the same thing there. That's the same thing there. So boundless is our God. So infinite and so mighty is our God. Yet so little is my faith at times. And I quoted this verse this morning already. I'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith, by the faith of Him. So boundless is our God. And we can come to Him. We can find life in Him. Dearly beloved, that's where we need to go. We have fellowship here, and it's sweet fellowship. But you know what? There's nothing like coming before God, this great shepherd, and finding His life to be that thing which fills you and thrills you. I tell you, I've been experienced that number of times already, and I bless God for that. I bless God for that. Now I want to have you all turn to Isaiah 42. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 there, and we're going to continue looking at this shepherd. And I forgot to bring something with me this morning, but you know what? That's okay. We can still talk about it. But as we turn there, in Isaiah 42, it's verses 1 and 3. And you know what? I bet you most of you know it already. And we're going to go from there to Isaiah, that's on the next one here. Isaiah 60, I believe it is. Yeah, 61. Look at this shepherd here. Look at this shepherd. As I read through here, it says, "Behold my servant," verse 1, "Behold my servant." And this is God talking of Christ. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile, and he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." And I was going to bring to this morning a rose. I got one yesterday. And I was going to break this rose. And now this rose has a break in it, this rose stem. And here is God, and he sees this bruised reed. And he doesn't go to this bruised reed and just finish it off. He doesn't do that. No, he goes down and he lifts it back up again. He makes it straight and he binds it up. And the smoking flax, I hear that there is not much more that is in smoke. There is not much more obnoxious smoke than smoking flax. But no, what he does, he goes down, he blows on this flax. And he tries to revive the life that is there. He brings back the life that is in this smoke. There is fire there if there's smoke. And dear brothers and sisters, this morning, again, it's a theme throughout here that we must see that it's these lambs that we're talking about here this morning. It's these lambs that we need to see, these lambs that need to be led to the next clump of grass. They need to be led to the next clump of grass because they need direction. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going. But that's what Christ does. He brings us all back together again. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's what Christ does. You just think of that lamb that has a scratch on his back, or that was bruised that day, and the ointment that the shepherd pours upon that hurt. And that's exactly what Christ does to us. I tell you, we can take our pain, we can take our struggles to Christ, we can do that. And Christ will take that and he'll fix it just as he says here. Can we trust him to do that? Do we know the shepherd? Do we know the shepherd? Are we scared of the shepherd? Are we scared of this shepherd this morning? We ought not to be scared of the shepherd. You see, there's no such thing as insignificance with God when it comes to his sheep. I mean, there's no little thing here that God says, "Oh, you know what, just get along already. I mean, we don't need to talk about this one. You can do it." There's no such thing as that with God. He's there for every one of them. He's there for every one of them. And he cares deeply for every one of them. Now I have a question for all of us here this morning. And that is this morning, dearly beloved, who are the lambs at TCA? Who are the lambs inside these four walls? Who are those ones? And I'm not talking about the ones at your side. I'm not talking about the little ones. I'm saying who are those who need direction? Who are those that the minute you bring them back from that dangerous rock over there and you bring them over to the center of the flock, they're going again. I mean, you look away and they're going. And you bring them back again, and they're just going again. And you just can't keep them there. And I'm not asking this morning the question, who are the lambs, so we can pick out the lambs. I'm saying, what are we going to do about it? How can we help them? But you know what, dearly beloved? It's easy to rail on these lambs. It really is. It's easy to talk about these lambs. And our words, and I've done it, but our words, they ring out across the hills. They go out there and they bounce around for a while. And eventually they come to roost in the ears of these lambs. And these are God's lambs this morning that I'm talking about. And they come to roost in these lambs' ears. And now the world, or the devil, doesn't need the world to destroy them because the church is willing to do it. That happens over and over and over again. I'm not saying here. I'm just saying there are many lambs destroyed because of unnecessary words, unnecessary things that we say. And why do I need to? What's the point of going on? Why should I go on? And that was my cry this morning, is that I'll be the first to say, I don't always know how to handle these lambs. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help them. I don't know what to bring to them. I don't know how to lead them to the next clump of grass. And dearly beloved, I believe that we must spend a lot of time in prayer in that. I believe that 90% of our words need to be with God. And then at the right time, and then in the right place, and when my heart is fixed, dearly beloved, when my heart is in that place where God has done a work here, and then we go to them and we say, can I walk with you? Can I walk with you? I want to help you. Can I do that this morning? And dearly beloved, that's what Christ has done for me. That's what Christ has done for me, and that's what He's calling you to do. That's what He's calling you to do. I've had lambs come to me already and say, are we that bad? Are we that bad? And you know what? What do I tell them? What do I tell them, dearly beloved? What do I tell these lambs that come to me crying because they've heard these words? That's serious business, people. That's serious business, because in this conversation, there's a rope and there's a neck and there's a body of water and there's a millstone in this conversation, dearly beloved. Because we've caused these little ones to stumble. And I'm not saying we can always lead them to the next clump of grass. But if we can't lead them to the next clump of grass, let's pray for them. Let's lift them up to God. Let's walk with them in that way. Can we walk with them in that way? You see, let's go back 18 years. In my life 18 years ago, I lived for the weekend. And you know, I don't like to go back, but I want to bring on a point here. I lived for the weekend, and you know, I at least partially knew what for wickedness I was going to do the coming weekend, but I didn't know what all I was going to get into. I didn't really think about the next weekend yet. We're going to do this one first, and so I didn't think about that one. And we didn't worry about that one yet. We're getting to it. But you know what? Christ knew. God knew. God knew everything I was going to be doing that weekend. He knew everything I was going to be doing the next weekend and the following weekend as well. And in fact, He knew everything I was going to do until I bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He didn't see it in increments of weekends. He didn't see it just a little at a time. He saw this whole thing in one great big pile. And there it was. And there it was. And you know, He would have been justified. God would have been justified in, you know, 1 second in a wisp of smoke getting rid of me. That He would have been justified in doing that. No one could have come to God and said, you didn't have the right to do that. God would have been just in doing that. He could have done it. He could have done it to all of us here today. He could have wiped us out. But no, He didn't do that, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. There's mercy in one hand and there's justice in the other hand. And justice is here crying out for the death of that man. But mercy says, no, we'll give him some more time. We'll give him some more time. We'll give him some more time. Another day, another day, another hour, another day, another week. We must get this, dearly beloved. We must get this. There's lots of lambs who need tender care. There's lots of lambs who need ointment on their backs. There's lots of lambs with broken legs. There's lots of lambs who need to be carried. We must get it. We must understand this. We must have this deep in our hearts. We must get it, dearly beloved. We must understand it. Can we lead him to the next clump of grass? Can we lead him to the next clump of grass? And dearly beloved, my heart is burdened for this. It really is. But I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to bless you. I really am. My heart goes out to each one of us here. Yes, the Lord is faithful. And I just need to stop. I really do. I need to stop. I need to stop and open it up. I want to hear your heart. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear where you're at. So let's do that at this point in time. Let's pray before we do that. Father, we just bow before you, God. This holy God, this all-wise God, this all-knowing God, this perfect God, this just God, this holy one who extends mercy upon mercy, oh God. And you lead us along and you give us life for death. And you give us hope where despair was. And you clean us up, Father. And not only that, you make us new, God. And you restore us unto yourself, Father. Lord, help me to see that as I go forth, Lord. Give me eyes to see the pain and the hurt in other people's lives, Lord. May I lead them one step at a time, one clump of grass at a time. We just bless you for your love, and we just thank you so much for being here, and that your life is in us. Your life is in us, oh God. We bless you, Father. So we just thank you for your tremendous grace and mercy. We just ask that you go with us as we go forth from this week. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.